Okay, I'm here today with Jim Anderson. It's the 29th of October. We're continuing our series of interviews. Today we're working on album number one and starting at picture 100. Good morning, Jim.
Yes, good morning to you. Yeah, that was taken at Unalakleet. And those two fellows were the Tweedo brothers. One of them's been killed since then, a plane crash. But they run at Haglund Air Service, which tied in with Frontier and became ERA, finally.
Okay.
And it was up there doing a 100-hour inspection or something on their Twin Beach, which the FAA said they couldn't fly it to get a check ride. It looked so bad. So dripping oil. Inside was a mess. Good job, inside.
Were these guys, you said their name were the Tweedle brothers?
Tweedle.
Tweedle? Are they were the ones who started Haglund Aviation?
I'm not too sure how it all started. Mm. But they were running it when I was there. Mm. Real nice guys.
Do you happen to know their first names?
No, not right off. You know, it's been so long back. That was, oh gosh, 20 years ago, I suppose. Mm. Yeah. There, it's out, run up, testing everything.
Still up in the middle of
the creek. Yeah. As you can tell, it's a windy place. The sock hanging up there.
That's the Twin Beach that you
yes,
were working
yes.
on?
Yes, a D-18 beach, yeah. Used to be a lot of them around. Mm. Not so much now.
Unalakleet again, maybe?
I'm not sure. Probably.
I don't know. If this tilts back and forth, it'll sometimes make it better or worse for you to...
Hey, there, that's better, yeah. Yeah, I'm not sure where that was.
Looks like the Twin Beach again.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I used to take pictures of everything. Mm-hmm. Lost them all in the hangar fire. 50 years of photographs.
At least they have the hangar up there.
Oh, yeah, nice hangar, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's... That country has got to be a necessity for planes like this.
Mm-hmm. I meant to ask you, I was just thinking of that this morning, and this has nothing to do with the picture. Were you born at St. Joseph's?
Yeah.
Hospital, okay.
Yeah.
I don't know why I was wondering about that today. I was just...
Me, my brother, and my daughters also.
Mm-hmm. When did Fairbanks Memorial get built? 70s, huh?
It's in the 70s somewhere, yeah. I'm not sure about that.
My stepdad used to work at St. Joseph's down in the mechanical room somewhere, and that in the 70s, so it was still open then.
Now that's down at Anchorage. It's the it's a Waco on floats. I was there at the museum they have right on Lake Hood.
Mm-hmm. Does that Waco have some history to it?
I don't know. I was down there on some... I think I was getting my cataract removed from my eye.
Mm-hmm.
And I wandered over there because I had some spare time. They had quite a collection.
I've been meaning to get down there and grab Doug Millard and just go walk through that old museum. Ooh. And have him tell me what he knows.
Well, I think there's a better one up by Wasilla.
Mm-hmm.
But I haven't been to it. I was going to stop in my last trip and closed for the season.
Oh, the one right there north of the railroad?
Yeah,
I'd like to go see that sometime. I doubt they have it. What do they have, a 737 at the one on Lake Hood now?
I don't know.
Alaska Airlines sitting there.
That's quite a story there, the Trimotor Stinson. And it had lost an engine and landed over in the Kantishna area someplace.
Mm-hmm.
And an old-timer named Red Berry decided he was going to get that airplane out of there. And Red didn't have much money, so he'd get some gear together, hire somebody, take him over there, fly him over. But he could only afford a one-way trip.
Mm-hmm.
So when he ran out of food and ideas and things to do, why, he'd walk back to Nenana. And he did this I don't know how many times.
Uh-huh.
And he did end up with an old tractor. He fixed up somehow and was using that. But they did get it out. And, of course, Red, he didn't have much money at all. Older fellow. And he sold the airplane to a couple of airline pilots. And they got it all fixed up. And then it reappeared back here again. because it had been a, it was a Lavery airplane, Lavery Airways airplane. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, it wasn't there the last time I stopped in at the museum. But the story was the fellow that was running the museum, he got run off, and he had this airplane's paperwork in his name, and the airplane went with him. I don't know whatever mm-hmm. happened to it.
Some history to that old plane.
Oh, yeah, the trimotor. I talked to Bill Lavery, who his airline, his airplanes. He said, well, you could lose the center engine and things weren't too bad, but if you lost one of the outboards, you were on your way down. Mm. They were only about, I don't think they were even 300 horsepower engines.
What's the, any idea on when that plane was built originally?
No, somewhere in the 30s.
They actually have some, I'm not sure if it was on, what is it, Pilot's Corner, whatever they do in the Alaska weather, where they talk to pilots, aviation
I have
or something. Anyways, there's some, somewhere along the line, I have some interviews on DVD of Bill Lavery telling his stories.
Oh, yeah, he was quite a guy.
And his dad was a grocer or something?
Yeah, they had a grocery store downtown. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a couple old friends working on the plane there. The guy sitting down is Sam Scott. He owns it. And the other one's Lou Applegate, and he's fixing it. And they're sitting there just taking it easy on a summer morning.
That's Lou Applegate.
With the red cap on.
Who was a...
Oh, he was a mechanic.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's around for quite a while.
Didn't at some point you work for him just briefly?
Oh, yeah, for 3-4 months, something like that, just after I got out of the Army.
Mm. I think he was one of the... first people to get the...
He was the first one to get the Charles Taylor Award here. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, yeah, quite a character. Now, that was a Cessna 206 up at Bear Creek, I think it's mining company up there. Anyhow, it's by Chandler Lake. And the fella had tacked... The runway is quite steep up the side of a hill. And he had taxied up the top and turned and locked the brakes and climbed out, and the brakes released, and he rolled back into a ditch. The airplane did all by itself, did the tail damage. So I went up to look at it and told him, yeah, I could fix it enough, they could fly it out. But about that time, I had to go to Fort Yukon to change an engine on a DC-3. And when I got back, well, they had made some arrangement with Brooks Fuel and traded him the airplane for a couple trips. I don't know whether it ever got fixed or it's still over at Brooks's yard. No idea.
When you were going to Fort Yukon, were you working for Ween?
No, I was working for myself. Yeah.
I think there's several more of these shots. Yeah, up there.
Oh, yeah, that was at the mining equipment. There was old equipment all over the place. It had been in operation for quite some time. So the normal collection of worn-out equipment that lined up.
Did they overland that in the wintertime?
Originally, yes. Yeah.
I couldn't help but notice there's a couple of Land Cruisers.
Oh, yeah, there. And let's see, right now, in that so-called runway, as I said, it's quite steep. There's a wreckage of C-46 and a C-119. And seeing a couple smaller planes. Where when they're generally on takeoff, they're going down and things didn't go right. I think the 46 blew a tire. And the 119 hit the tail booms and everything went to hell there. They couldn't rotate enough because of the steepness. But there was no way anybody could take off uphill.
Any idea on the year these pictures were taken?
No, can't say right off. Yeah, there's just pictures of them. The camp and one thing and another. Claimed there was gold from the grassroots down, but they didn't go back in and work much longer.
It might be interesting. Was it a gold mine?
Yeah, it was a gold mine, yeah.
So there might be, there's lots of renewed interest with the price of gold.
Oh, no telling what's going on now. Oh, yeah. But it was typical. You got to figure out the amount of gold for the amount of expense. And as the guy said, it used to take an ounce of gold to buy 2 barrels of fuel. back at $30 an ounce. Well, gold is about $1,600, $1,700 now, and it still takes an ounce of gold to get 2 barrels of fuel.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's me and my old Oliver tractor. I'm taking my boat down to the Chena.
So this is down there on...
This is on Fouts' little runway, yeah, along the bank. About 850 foot along the edge of the Chena.
You still have that tractor?
Oh, yes.
It's the one you use to move planes around.
Snow plow. Mm-hmm. That's basically what it is. Wien Airlines plowed snow with it for about 20 years, and I've had it for, 30 years or better. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is that strip still in place? Or
no, the strip is still there. They've been trying to sell the land. There's quite a bit of it, mm-hmm. and right on the bank, but... I don't think real estate's that good these days. Mm. Nobody hasn't had a real good bite yet, I guess.
Mm. Is it the original Fouts people, their grandkids?
Or well, one of the sons, yeah. Mm-hmm. Cy Fouts. Cy Cy, we called him. Yeah. There we are, going in the river. Used to keep the boat tied up along there. That was a hazard to work because things weren't going right. Get the wife and the kids and go for a boat ride. That was it.
Easy distraction.
Well, yeah, it's a great way to relax. It's just wonderful. There's nothing better than a boat out in the river.
I like this shot of you.
I was the captain of the boat. Oh yes, yeah. That had to be somewhere in the 70s.
I think there's another one right after it. Oh, no. Putting the boat in.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. There's my old friend Buck Maxson. Flew out of Kotzebue for years. And the plane behind him was for another guy at Kotzebue that had been built or rebuilt in Montana, I think it was. So when Buck was heading north one spring, well, he picked it up and brought it up. He flew out of Kotzebue for years, all kinds of equipment.
Is Buck still alive?
Yeah, he's back. He's got some old oil wells back in Pennsylvania, and he goes back there and works them in the winter. He's got one well that's been pumping for over 100 years.
Really?
Yeah, it's way back in it. Not too far from when the first oil strike was made in the United States.
Mm-hmm. Does he do much flying anymore?
Well, he didn't do much last summer. He went to Kotzebue with a mall, and he said, my gosh, the day of the small charter plane is about done up there. The air taxis and the Cessna Caravans pretty much take care of everything.
I think my dad might have done some flying. If he didn't do some flying for Buck, then he knew him, because Dad used to live in
Kotzebue. I mentioned his name. He said, yeah, I knew him. Yeah, same airplane. It's over to International now.
Mm-hmm.
And there's my little cabin with a tree that fell on it.
Is this the cabin right next door?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah.
What was the story behind that cabin?
Oh, it was a good one. I had a young fellow working with me, and I had this property over here, but didn't have time or money to improve it. And he and his buddy are going to put up an old GI tent and live there in the winter. And I said, well, why don't you cut down some of those trees on the lot and build a log cabin? By gosh, they didn't do her. It's, what, about 12 by 15 or something like that. And they didn't know what they were doing. And they didn't put any insulation between the logs as they stacked them up. They never even took the bark off, as you can see. It must have been pretty chilly in there. They had a big drum stove, and I think they kept warm feeding the stove.
Mm.
And since then, we got it tuned up a little bit. I lived in it for a couple of years later on. Oh, yeah.
Did you ever chink the logs?
Oh, yeah. I made a deal with my daughters, and they came over and just chinked away and peeled off bark and had a good time. Oh, yeah. It was a comfortable little place.
A little bigger tree might have done some damage to the roof.
Hmm.
Doesn't look like it hurt it too bad there.
No, it didn't hurt anything. And that is my famous barley field. I had filled in front of the cabin, which is normal run-of-the-mill silt from a gravel pit. And it looked pretty scroungy, so I said, well, they were getting the farm program going at Big Delta, and everybody's thinking barley. So I got some barley and scattered it all over, and it grew up about an inch and kind of sat there and looked at me. So in my wisdom, I went down and got a whole bunch of lawn seed or fertilizer. Threw it all around and didn't think much more about it. And a couple of weeks went by, and I tell the wife, I said, we ought to go check my barley field, see how it's doing. And she, ah, poo, nothing, that ain't going to grow. That lady had a very negative attitude, that ex-wife. And we got down there. This stuff was up to your knees and bright green. You never, it was pretty as could be. I couldn't even convince anybody to bring a horse over and eat it, so I had to finally mow it down. Mm-hmm. And it was quite a sight. What a surprise.
Where would this shop be sitting in comparison to where we're sitting here? Is it right?
Let's see. Well, there's shot from the runway. Because those birch trees are the ones that are at the corner of the cabin. Mm-hmm. Go. There wasn't anything else here at the time. Mm-hmm. There's my daughter, Jenny.
Mm-hmm. I couldn't help. Is that a old black powder rifle? Or
yeah.
Out of the door?
Yeah. I don't know where that was taken. I don't know. Oh, I think that was out at our house on Estradome Road. Mm-hmm. I still have the rifle that's out the house. That wasn't at the hangar, thank goodness. Mm-hmm. Yeah, flintlock. Interesting thing. Used to shoot it a bit. Then it was been bored out. I don't know what the story was, but the barrel started to crack, so we gave up on that. Interesting, you get it all tuned up and loaded up and flinted up and pulled the trigger, and there's a puff and a cloud of fire and smoke, and then it goes off. Mm-hmm. A little bit delayed. And that was taken. I originally had a little shop down there in Broadmoor with a trailer on the back, and that is my shop cat checking out the counter. You're back to that again.
I think that's actually, I'm not sure if it's the same shot or if it was, I think it's a little different shot just from the same day. Mm. I've looked through these pictures a number of times and I like this shot with the sky behind you.
Well,
looks like you're out on the river.
We might have been. Yeah, that's Jenny again.
Mm-hmm. It looks like from the Chena Pump Overlook. Just
it is.
The campground.
It is. That's the Tanana Spring. And my mother. Mm-hmm. Some get-together of some sort.
Mm-hmm. Looks like she might be either handing or opening a present.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Probably about Christmas time. Mm-hmm.
Was it her parents that Lily did the master's thesis on?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah, Mom was born down at Ophir. It was her first white girl born there. Mm-hmm. There in the big stampede at Ophir about 1911. Mm-hmm. That's when she was born. She grew up down there, and things must have been pretty tough on times, because as a kid I had a little trap line for rabbits. Because you could sell them at Wacker Brothers Meat Market for a dollar each. So I worked at that, and my first rabbit I got at home, I got a knife the size of Jim Bowie's, and I don't know what to do. And Mom comes out and she says, I'm going to show you just once, because I've cleaned too many rabbits. Well, she drove a couple of nails into a shed door, hung that rabbit up, and 3 seconds later it was skinned and done. And I'm still standing there wondering, well, how'd she do that? But she got me checked out. It's no problem. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Said she'd eat so much rabbit and fed rabbits to the dogs and trapped rabbits. She didn't want anything to do with them when she was a kid.
Mm-hmm. I read a book by, I think it was Jimmy Carroll, the original Carroll up in Fort Yukon.
Mm-hmm.
And he talks about when they were first up there living off the land, how lynx wasn't bad if you just get beyond the idea that it was a cat you were eating.
Oh, lynx is very good.
And they talked about eating everything they trapped, and I just, times were
hard
to make a living off the land back then.
Sure. Well, any time it is. Mm. Yeah, but
you've actually had lynx?
Oh, I've had lynx. It's a nice white meat, good flavor. It's great. Mm. Oh, yeah.
I guess I've seen plenty of my stepdad and the guy who kind of raised me, Denny Tim. They trapped a lot of lynx, but we never, by then it was not, you just didn't eat it.
Oh.
Trapped, and I never thought about eating it.
Oh, no, it's quite good. In fact, they had a big spring barbecue at this bar, the Botel. It's right on the Chena. Mm-hmm. And everybody's having a good time, and I'd brought over a lynx, or part of one. And everybody said, I know you to eat that cat and this and that. And there's all kinds of food. They said, clean out your freezers and bring it down and we'll have a big barbecue. And everybody's having a great time. Well, I took some people up in a boat ride, some visitors, and I came back. And one of the gals that was taking care of the food says, Jimmy, I saved you some of the lynx because the minute people bit into it, they were going to eat it all. It was that good. Let's see, where are we here? Oh, I think that was just outside the door of the shop. Mm. Yeah. Yeah, that would have been it.
The one over on Fouts, or?
Yeah. Yeah, the one in Fouts.
There's a series of these pictures
from the Phoenix float plane. Yeah, that was Chris Seeley. He was gonna have a, what would you call it, flight seeing service. Mm. And he had a mall. And he bought this Taylor craft to give instruction in. He was an instructor pilot also. And then he's kind of funny. He comes up and he says he wished this thing had flaps because he couldn't get it down good enough. And standing there, I said, well, just side slip it. Slip it down. Well, he's not going to believe me because I didn't fly very much. Friend was there, pilot, commercial. He says, yeah, that's all you do, just put them in a slip. Chris disappeared for a while. He come back and he says, by gosh, that's really something. He got up to about 5,000 feet and tried it out. And you get controls cocked around and point the wing right at the runway and just slide down sideways. It's it's quite an easy maneuver. It's safe. Unless you don't straighten up too soon or too late. Yeah. I don't know where that airplane is now. He left the country. I don't know who bought it.
Do you know where that picture was taken?
Yeah, that's right at the, I guess it'd be the north end of Fouts' runway.
Okay.
That's their garage and apartment behind it.
Mm. Yeah, there's a series of these, and some of them are obviously he had a crack up a little later on in the slides.
And that was the mall. Mm-hmm. Yeah, was it Chena Hot Springs?
Yeah, I was wondering after looking at the pictures if that was.
Yeah, he landed, had some Japanese tourists on board, and everything's fine. He landed and skis and kind of hit a little rise, came back down, axle broke, and away wing went and went right over on its back. Mm. Bud Johnson. He was building a model of a German plane, the Ju-52, a trimotor. Mm. Just talked to him yesterday. He's down in Salmon, Idaho. Let's see. Yeah, that's this room we're sitting in now.
Mm-hmm. What's he got his back up to?
Oh, probably a fuselage I was working on.
That door's big enough?
Oh, yeah. That's 8 foot wide.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. That was hanging in the hangar when it burned up.
Mm-hmm. I guess I'm always looking down to see where I'm walking, but I didn't even notice those models until one day I happened to look up and I was like, holy cow.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Were any of those models built by the guy who lives out of Eagle?
No, no. Okay. No, some came from an old-timer who was heading south, and he says, I hate to throw them away, and can you hang them up in your place? Maybe people can see them. There was about three of them, I guess, or four.
Did Bud carve that out of a solid piece of wood?
The wings are actually bunch of 2x4s glued together. Mm. They were solid. I can't remember if the fuselage was solid or not. I remember it was pretty heavy, though, when you went to put it up. Mm. Oh, yeah. It's quite a project. Let's see. I do believe that it's a Super Cub getting rebuilt.
In here?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Did you work out of here for a number of years before you had your big hangar?
Oh, yeah. Rebuilt? Yeah. Yeah, I worked out of here for... Whew. Gosh sakes. Well, the first one was a Quonset hut across the street from the house, mm-hmm. 20 by 24. And then bought this, the property next to us when the fellow left town. And he had this about half built, so I finished it up and moved in. That had to be somewhere in the early 70s. Mm.
So that was a Super Cub?
I'm still trying to figure this one out. Mm. It might have been a cruiser. Mm. I think it probably was. That's one of the... square hole back here, that's when we first started putting in upper baggage compartments in them. Mm. And we didn't do that on the Cubs until several years later. Oh, yeah, it's coming along nicely. Well, there it is, all out and put together. Mm. Yeah, plane was around it for years. It's now in Wisconsin.
Who did it belong to?
Fellow at the university, Don Button. Mm-hmm. Quite a... dealt with water, bugs in the water, and all kinds of things.
Like a biologist or something.
I suppose. He told me once, he says, there was, of all the water moving through the Tanana Valley here, only a third of it is in the river. The rest is all underground, mm-hmm. moving along. Mm-hmm. He says, and you get to check, and there's all kinds of bugs and things in it. Little fishes, everything. Mm. Yeah, it was an interesting fellow to talk to.
Is that over there on the Fouts again?
No, that was taken in my yard, and we are, the plane is between us and the river. There was a fellow building that two-story thing there, which never did get finished. Oh, yeah.
One of these days, I'll be able to identify these pictures by the hills.
Yeah.
Because it's... can't quite tell yet.
No, that's Chena Ridge behind it.
Mm-hmm. But you could get that same type of shot here. I guess the hills would be a little closer right here.
Oh, it'd be different again, yeah. Yeah. There's old Stanley the cat eating popcorn. Eating popcorn. Gosh, he lived almost 20.
I think this is a postcard.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know where it came from. It just caught my eye. It's been quite the days in those boats. And here's Chris with a little outboard pulling his maul on floats up the river. We had an early snow that year.
Mm-hmm. Wouldn't it have been easier just to taxi it up?
Well, cold enough, didn't want to start it. Mm-hmm. Something, I don't know. Mm-hmm. He had this idea, so he did it. Mm-hmm. There he is. Pulled it up in the snow and then put the wheels on it somewhere along the line.
Mm. You said he's out in the States now?
Yeah, he's down in Florida, what last I heard.
Mm. Flying still, or?
I don't know. Mm. Like a lot of people, that was at Circle, or Chena Hot Springs, after the axle broke. Boy, there was a whole bunch of Japanese tourists up there. A lot of pictures of me over in Japan, too, I think. Taking it apart.
Looks like it got roughed up pretty good.
Oh, yeah, they don't go in their back too easy. Mm. Yeah.
You good? You need to take a break or anything?
I should go out to take a leak, I guess.
Okay.
Yeah. Ah, that's better.
So no one was hurt? None of his tourists were hurt with it?
No. We we were taking it apart and loading it on a trailer when we went over to have lunch at the lodge. And the cook looks in there and he's talking away and he says, "Oh, gosh, Chris, you're the luckiest guy in town." And Chris is looking at him and saying, "What do you mean? My airplane's wrecked. I'm done for. I got, you know, my business is gone. Everything's gone." The cook says, "Well, no, we had a Japanese tourist on board. If it had been some Californians, you wouldn't have clothes." He said, "They'd sue you so hard and fast." Yeah. Getting her apart.
That's got to be disheartening for a guy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That was the end of the flying. Well, he had the Taylor craft left. He was giving lessons and working a bit on construction jobs.
The computer's thinking.
What's that mean, Bo?
What are you doing, computer? The computer might have just locked up.
Well, why do they do this?
I'm not quite sure. I think I'll pause the recorder for a second. I guess it would help if I started that up. Okay, back to Chris on Chino Hot Springs.
There we are. Got her all loaded up on the boat trailer. Wings on the pickup. And the worst part of that whole job was driving back in on the Hot Springs Road. And it was getting quitting time for everybody in Fairbanks. And all those people think they're racing at Indianapolis. My, it was an interesting trip back.
Luckily, most of them are going the other way from you, right?
Yeah, but still.
Remember, was it that cold that day when that?
Oh, it wasn't too bad. It was in the spring. Yeah, as you can see there.
Lots of snow.
Yeah.
Looks like, is he taking a picture of you, taking a picture of him, or is he just adjusting his face?
I don't know what he's up to.
Did you end up rebuilding this plane?
No, it was too far gone for me. It got sold to somebody. They must have had to buy new wings and everything for it. They were pretty bad.
On wings and stuff now, if you have a wing that's too bad to repair, can you just, I mean, it almost looks like you're totally rebuilding a set of wings here. Like right now, you can just build from scratch a wing now?
Or you could? No, it's pretty tough to do. Mm-hmm. You can. You can buy spars and ribs and the metal and all this, but it's basically too expensive. Mm-hmm. It's like building a car out of parts you buy, you know, mm-hmm. and just triple what it is for the whole thing. And generally, there's two or three aircraft, we'll call them junk dealers, I guess, and they buy up used airplanes for what reason. You can get parts from them a lot of times.
Mm. Any of them up here in
Alaska? No, they're all in the States now. Mm. Let's see. Well, the fellow hanging on the hose is Ray Hodges. He was a Wing pilot.
Really? That's Ray?
Yeah.
I know Ray.
And I can't remember the fellow next to him, but that was a beat-up cruiser he got at Kotzebue. Mm-hmm. And the other fellow's going to fly it out. And I don't think it made it all the way. Mm-hmm. It was pretty rough shape. And last I heard, well, Ray's living down in the Anchorage area somewhere. He still got that plane, but he never did get to finish putting it together again. Mm-hmm. This happens a lot. People are going to rebuild their airplane, and they take it all apart and do not realize how much time and work it takes. Mm-hmm. You see a picture of a home built. Some guy's saying, "Oh, yes, I built this, and I started in 2005, and it made its first flight here the other day." Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I guess I haven't seen Ray that much of the years, but his wife used to babysit us.
Ah.
June.
Junie, yeah.
Yeah. I remember as a kid going over and seeing them a lot when everybody was in Anchorage. It probably was during the strike years.
Could have been, yeah. Never Looks like we're going to take a set of floats off in the middle of winter. Oh, yeah, that was over at International. Yeah. Yeah, a fella got, and he says, he kind of screwed up, and could I do this? And I'm over there working on it, carrying on. He came by with a pair of low-quarter shoes, not much for winter gear, and shivering and shaking. And he says, Jesus, cold out here. He says, how cold does it get before you quit? And I said, well, 30 is the absolute max, minus 30. Mm. I have been caught where I had to do it in colder weather, but it's after 30, there's not too much.
Did you leave your boom truck over there at the airport quite a bit?
No. I generally brought it back down to the shop. You go around the south end of the airport and on the Dale Road and stay out of the way of everybody. And that was a boat, a sailing ship that got built in Fouts' backyard. Mm. It's all welded aluminum. I guess it was somebody started to build it out in Badger Road, and then I don't know what happened, but it ended up down there, and they welded and carried on with that thing. And finally they put her in the river. The mast was so tall, they had to take it down separately because it wouldn't go under the bridge at Nenana. Mm. And they finished it up there, and I understand he went all the way around down to Florida.
I think I remember the story of this in the Newsminer.
Could be. Could be. It was quite a project. All kinds of things happened down as Fouts. Mm-hmm. It's quite a place. Oh, I was out cutting wood somewhere for the wood stove, probably down at Rosie Creek. Mm. Oh, yeah. Let's see, which one's that? Oh, I believe that's Jenny again. Mm. The dog races on 2nd Avenue.
Must be the North American.
Yep, yeah.
Were there, you know, people still go to the North American and stuff, but I get the sense that when they used to have the dog races downtown, it used to be more of the community would come.
Oh, boy, everybody was down there, and they ran the dog. This is on 2nd Avenue, and they brought in snow. Mm-hmm. But it used to be right on the river. Mm-hmm. And, the whole town was all crowded up. People came from everywhere to watch the dog races and do this and that. They had pari-mutuel betting. There's a big tent set up there. It's about where the Chamber of Commerce log cabin is, mm-hmm. right in that area, for hot dogs and this and that, and get warm. Yeah, it was quite a deal.
What kind of betting did you call it?
Hmm?
Pari-mutuel
betting, yeah. It's like a horse race.
Okay.
You know, you got the board up and you're betting. Uh-huh. Yeah, it was quite a deal.
Yeah, anymore you're lucky to, if there's even something in the Newsminer about the racing, I mean, everybody knew every musher's name.
Oh, boy, yeah, we was cheering them on all the time. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Gareth Wright, boy, he was the hero of half the country. Mm-hmm. He was really good.
Is that his place right over here on the road, on Chena Pump, this dog lot?
No, he doesn't have, he doesn't have any dogs anymore. He's mm-hmm. pretty old now. It's a lot of work keeping things going. Mm-hmm. There, you see, that's old enough. The Savoy Bar was still there. They mm-hmm. tore it down now and built a parking garage.
I don't think the parking garage is nearly as much fun.
No. There was a good story about that place. There was apartments upstairs. And one night, a city cop is up checking things out because it got kind of rambunctious now and then. And he could hear these guys in there raising and calling and folding. And he says, oh, boy, I got these guys, a bunch of gamblers. So he got some more police, and they went up and raided them. And here sit, half a dozen of the local characters, and they're betting with food stamps. There was no money at all. They couldn't do a thing. It's a shame they tore it down.
Yeah, 2nd Avenue doesn't have nearly the character.
Oh, no, there. No. People come up and they want to see the, you know, early days, what things are like. What have we got? Just a standard small town, 2nd Avenue now.
How did, when I think of 2nd Avenue, I think of it during the pipeline years. That's when I was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
How did the pipeline affect your business
Ooh-wee, it slowed down because everybody's off working. They weren't flying. They weren't doing anything. You know, they just weren't around. So it got pretty slow. But I had these big ground heaters, Herman Nelson heaters for heating up airplanes. I got in touch with the people at Sourdough Freight Lines. In fact, a friend of mine was a dispatcher. That's how we figured it out. We're talking one day, and he says at the bar, and he says, "Well, have you got them heaters? It's like his truck's just freezing up. These fellows from states don't understand this." I said, "Boy, well, I got heaters." Well, that winter, I didn't work on airplanes much. I basically heated trucks and cats. Oh, my. And people would laugh. They'd see me sitting in my pickup half awake with a couple of heaters on the back, just bellowing away. And tell them, "Yeah, it looks easy, except I got to overhaul these heaters at night." Yeah.
Last string of pictures we're going to do today, there's a picture of your truck heating up some cat scrapers.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Kids race, oh, yeah.
I guess someone would assume with all the money that came into the country during the pipeline that business would, everybody would be buying planes, but you kind of, everybody's out busy making money.
They were busy making money, yeah. Some did when it started slowing down. I met one fella, had a 206, and he says, "Yep." He says, "I got up, got to working on the pipeline, and this is my pipeline pay right here." He bought a brand new. Oh, yeah. That is the last rock between Alaska and Hawaii.
Hmm.
It's taken on a tour boat out of Seward.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me one time, the captain on this boat we were on, he says, "Oh, yeah, during World War II, they had big guns in place out here." He said on a real calm day, he'd gotten off and checked it out, and it was basically underground, everything.
Mm-hmm.
He says, "It looked pretty grim." And, of course, during the war, early 40s, that must have been some rotten duty. No helicopters, boat, if we were lucky to get there, no place to land anything else.
Mm-hmm. Well, makes you wonder about putting the guns in place. They would have had to...
Beats me how they did it. And he said, "Yeah, the emplacements are still there." And so they took the guns. The story was they'd taken the guns and just threw them over the side.
Mm.
Well, yeah, Seward was considered a war zone. We were living down there then, and there were, machine gun emplacements on some of the street corners. Everybody had to have a bomb shelter in the backyard or maybe just a ditch, you know, or trench cut, which is all right except for poor old Mrs. Brown. She was not going to put any slit trench in her backyard. So the city says, "It's rule, we'll do it." And that's when they found Mr. Brown. She had buried him out back and told him he packed up and left. It was kind of funny, considered a war zone, and a lot of empty houses because people had to leave. But you could stay if you were native born, whatever. So my mother and my brother and I, we went to Seward with Dad, you got a big job down there. Oh, yeah. It was fun.
Did everybody have, like, blackout curtains?
I suppose. I don't remember. Mm-hmm. But I expect there were some kind of shades, yeah. Mm-hmm. I know that once at the school, they run us all down in the basement. What's going on? What's going on? Well, somebody had reported a submarine in the harbor. Yeah. Big panic about everything. It turned out it was a whale.
That looks like a whale right there.
Might be. There was a bunch of them around there. We took some pictures of them. I hadn't forgotten about that. They were killer whales. Orca?
That's what it looks like.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I have no idea where that was.
Somewhere in the interior.
Yeah, yeah.
Beautiful rainbow.
Might have been when we were going down to Manly. Hard to say. There I am with the DC-3 at Fort Yukon.
Mm-hmm.
With the engine back in place. Look at that. No belly on me then. I was lean and mean.
Did you actually replace the engine on that one?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I had these blue coveralls, Anderson Aircraft on them. And, of course, changing engines is kind of a messy job. The old ones are always greasy and cruddy. Anyhow, I'm working away, and this fella comes out, a native guy, with a nice hydraulic boom truck. Oh boy, this is good. Gosh, he was a real cool. He got it right on there, just perfect, no problem at all, and get the bolts in. And we're talking, and he says, and what is Anderson Aircraft? I said, that's where everybody goes that used to work for Wien Airlines, because they were closed down by then. And he starts laughing, and he says, I used to work for Wien's. We changed C-46 engine up here with tripod made out of logs. Yeah, we had a pretty good time of it.
Do you know whose aircraft that was?
Yeah. Audi Air had leased it. And the engine blew, and they parked it there, and then Audi Air went broke not too long afterwards. And the owner finally showed up. Can't quite remember. Ken. Can't remember his whole name. I only know him just a short time. So he got an engine and got his airplane back to town. Sold it. And it was going out, and this ferry crew, for some reason, went down. They stopped at Petersburg, which is a strange route to take, I thought. We took off the next morning and said things weren't right, and they ditched her. And I have a sneaking suspicion they forgot to take the control locks off before they took off. Because it was just after takeoff, and they were just went straight in. And nobody got hurt. Got a call some years later, this guy in Petersburg, he says, I'm going to put that plane up. And I says, I don't think it's going to work too good, friend, because it's salt water. It's just going to disappear. Never did hear much more about it. Salt water and aircraft aluminum do not get along. That's Bill Aldridge, a friend of mine.
That's the picture that I mistook for being Terry.
Yeah, I don't know. This is long before Terry's time. Let's see. It's in the 80s sometime.
Can you tell what plane that is?
It's the DC-3.
It's the DC-3, okay.
Yeah.
Fort Yukon?
Again, that's the one at Fort Yukon, yeah.
He said his name is Bill Aldridge?
Yeah.
Still with us, or?
Yeah, he's still around. Mm-hmm. Got out of flying. Oh, I think Bill's in his 80s now. He's pretty well settled down. Mm-hmm. We work construction a lot, a bunch of things. With all around hand.
No hangar available in Fort Yukon? Or
oh, no.
Just summertime and nice enough to work out?
No, there wasn't any hangar. Mm-hmm. We were lucky with the weather. It was real good.
That looks like the other half of the rainbow.
It must be, yeah. It's a double, too. There you are, Audi Air in all its glory.
Bugs didn't get to you?
Well, it wasn't bad at all. Mm-hmm. Well, you're out in the open, you see, a little breeze. Mm-hmm. Mosquitoes like to be near thick grass or bushes. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't bad at all. Let's see, that's my youngest daughter. That's Elizabeth. Mm-hmm. She's all married up, living down in Eagle River now.
Did Elizabeth go to grad school? I have it in my head that she went to college outside.
She went to, it was an art college in Seattle. Mm-hmm. Got her degree in something, and now she's working a long-distance program with some college back in Vermont to get her master's degree in art. She said that way, she said, you might be able to get a job teaching. I imagine there's a lot of that goes on, though. I don't know.
That's Russian.
No, it's Polish.
Polish.
That's a dromedaire. And that's a friend of mine there. Oh, boy. I'm getting bad on names. Of course, I haven't seen him for about 20 years or so. Anyhow, that was up here, and he got in touch with me because somebody else called him. Came out and do a bit of a 100-hour on it. It was used for firefighting. It's a crop duster, big one.
That's out on Wien, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Dennis Parrish. Used to fly for British Petroleum, yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm not too sure, but that looks like the float pond at International. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it must be.
It must be easy with the thousands of planes you've worked on to try to pinpoint what each of them is.
Oh, the airplane isn't bad. It's where was that, you know, and what was I doing there?
Mm-hmm. That looks like the float pond again out at International. Yeah. That fuel tank. That's
yeah.
A bunch of your pictures.
Oh, yeah. Well, there were fuel tanks all over.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's probably going to put the floats on or something.
Mm-hmm. My brother Nathan just bought an Aranca. An Aranca sedan? Is that?
Oh, yeah. There's a sedan.
He's pretty tickled. He won a Sea Ray at the drawing at the Palmer Fair.
Oh, my.
And it was a long, involved process. The guy who had built, it was like a kit plane.
It's a home built, yeah.
And the guy hadn't done the paperwork properly. Then the guy who had the title of the plane got ill and sick, and it's taken Nathan about 3 years to get everything cleared up and get the work done on it. But then he traded the Sea Ray for partial payment on the Aranca.
Oh, okay.
And I think he traded off his, or sold his, he had a 140.
Mm-hmm, yeah. Well, I just happen to have a spare set of sedan main landing gear hanging up in the back shed.
Mm.
And I don't know where they came from.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, there's Stanley, sound asleep on an engine. There we are. That's that same green airplane. I took care of that thing for years.
Mm. That's the one that you built right here in...
I rebuilt a fuselage here, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And see, that's Billy and Johnny Johnson, his dad. Billy flew that Cub demonstrator for the Riverboat Discovery for years.
Okay, the tourist flight that takes off the river twice a day or whatever.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, now it's another fella.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I wonder how many Johnny Johnsons have been in the country.
It's like Andy Andersons.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That looks like it was over here, huh?
Or no, was it Fouts's?
Fouts's.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Somebody in a hammock between the trees.
That's what I was wondering.
Well, that's probably here, too.
Mm.
Ah, the last of the B-25. You had some other pictures of it. This was way later, and some people came up, and they were trying to get this. They'd heard about this. They were going to rebuild this airplane and do this and that, and I says, fellas, it won't work, but I'll tell you what, I'll take the boat and take you up there.
Mm-hmm.
So that was all that was left of it.
So people harvested more than just the engines?
I took the engines off and everything that was usable, but I think the rest all went to the aluminum fire.
Mm-hmm.
Buy it, sold it for scrap. This much of it is probably still laying there.
Mm.
I know one guy tried to lift it out with a helicopter and he couldn't do it. Well, a lot of silt and crap in the belly.
Mm.
Pretty heavy.
Yeah, is it low enough on the sandbar that when the water gets high, it gets up on it?
I doubt it. It would have way back when,
because
it was a regular bar and there was quite a channel running near close to it. But it all changed. The channel disappeared and the willows grew up and the river moved over.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I had a hard time finding it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're looking her over.
That was that they originally put that in there when it was on a firefighter?
Yeah, it was a fire bomber.
Mm-hmm.
Guy took off, and so the engine started giving him trouble, and he turned and he's going to try to get back, and he said he couldn't make it, so he finally dumped the load too late. It's 10,000 pounds to get rid of, you see. But he didn't dump it until he's damn near in the trees.
Mm.
And he landed a little slew and slid up on the sandbar.
Mm.
He always claimed it was the fuel, but I doubt it. There was something else went wrong. I think he overboosted the engines.
Mm.
A lot of the intake connectors were blown off, the rubber. And that is Buck Maxson. At that time, that was the only airplane he had, and he's getting ready to go to Kotzebue.
Mm-hmm. That was down there off of Fouts?
Yeah. Yeah, you see, Ray Hodges had a little air taxi up there on the side. He called it, Arctic Air Guides.
Mm-hmm.
And Buck got sick and tired of playing with his oil field, so he kept talking to Ray and bought the airplane and the certificate and went up to fly in the summer times.
Mm-hmm.
And he says later, he says, some years the airplanes have supported the oil field, and some years the oil field supported the airplanes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a single otter on takeoff.
Okay.
That was out at Wainwright.
Did they use the otter for fire?
I don't know what was going on there. Just the airplane was there, and I caught a picture of it. It was taken off. Mm. And there you can see in the foreground the boom truck, part of it. Mm-hmm. Well, that tree there is right next to their house, and they wanted to build an addition on. Mm. So we ran a line way up the tree and came back and hooked into my winch and tightened her up as they cut to make sure it didn't go the wrong direction. Mm. And there it is. Oh, yeah. And a whole bunch of people got together and just did it. Mm. There's my famous old outboard, which is still sitting in the corner.
Mm. What is that outboard?
It's a 22-horse Johnson. Mm. Built, and there's a configure somewhere in the early 40s. Mm. I could probably take it out, oil it up, and it would probably run today.
It looks like something out of another time.
Oh, boy. They were popular. They were all over the country. Mm. Lots of horsepower.
It probably has some value to it now.
I don't know. My son-in-law checked, and he said, oh, maybe we can sell it on eBay or something. He says, oh, they're only going for $400 or $500.
Really?
Yep, there's Mom again. Cooking away. And that's a blurry picture, but I believe that's my friend Kevin Stalder. We're up to something. Mm. Boy, she looks like it was a cold day. Mm. Yeah, that's a different airplane. I rebuilt several in here.
That almost looks like a...
That's a Champ.
Like a garage door there, like an overhead.
Yeah, that was in the other section was tied into this, yeah. We took that part and moved her over, and it was part of the hangar.
Mm-hmm. That's where you used to park your car.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, that's over here at Chena Marina. To park airplanes in the winter. It's probably out plowing snow or some fool thing. There we are in my favorite spot downriver. Mm-hmm. You cut in there, it's a slough comes off the river, and you go downstream and take a few right corners and left corners. Usually hit the bottom now and then. And you end up with a nice clear stream where you can catch pike.
Hmm. When's the last time you took your boat out?
Oh, it didn't go out this year. Mm-hmm. Last year we had it in once, I think. See, it was so much easier then. Had the boat in the water, a block from the house. Mm-hmm. So gather up the kids, throw some stuff in the boat, and away we'd go. Well, now I got to take it over, trailer it over to the Tanana, put it in, and carry on. Mm-hmm. So it slows you down quite a bit. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the slough right there.
Almost right. Looks like there might be a... beaver or something like that.
Yeah, no, I've never seen a beaver there.
No.
I know they're around, but I've never seen one. It's the wife, Judy. She's cutting the kid's hair.
Mm-hmm. That was a while ago. You can see the size of whatever daughter is there.
Oh, yeah, it's a long time back. Let's see. Jenny was born in 68. 71 and 72 for the other two, I think. Mm. I think that's right.
Hair cutting time.
Mm-hmm.
Can you tell what daughter that is?
Yeah, it's Jenny.
It's Jenny?
Yeah, she was the tallest one. And that's an interesting picture. A surveyor found that airplane on Travel Air Creek. It's, I believe it's out of Umiat, up there somewhere. Mm-hmm. and it was a Travel Air airplane. The fellow was working on it. It had a little damage. And he was welding on it, and he started putting things away, and he turned around, and the airplane was on fire. And that was the end of it. But the surveyor, he was all, boy, he showed me this picture, and he's all excited, and I says, oh, that's the old Travel Air out of Umiak. Huh? I'd heard about it years before.
So was that the surveyor's picture? Or
yeah, he took those. Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. I never was near it myself. Mm-hmm.
That's all that was left of it after the fire.
Right? Oh, yeah, it had fabric covered and wooden wings. Mm-hmm. Wooden ribs and all that in it. That's in front of my old shop. Happily doing 100-hour on somebody's plane.
Mm-hmm. Is that you?
I think so. Hard to say. And that was the end result of two airplanes colliding while they were on the water. Down the middle flats, a couple of duck camps, hunting camps. And one morning the fellows with the Cub decided to go over to the other camp and see what was going on. Just taxi around the slough. Well, they came around about a 90-degree corner, and here was a champ coming the other direction to visit them. It tore the wing off of this one. I think it sunk a little bit. And the champ, what, same thing. So I went down and welded up what I had to, and they brought another wing in on a spreader bars of a Super Cub, floats. I put it together and flew it back to town. And wasn't too, I don't know, maybe next weekend or something. We went down and got the champ. Satabri it was, and that guy was funny. I was flying in with, I think, Mickey Van Hatten, maybe Bub Hallett, I don't know, in a Cub. And we're looking around, we're wondering where this champ is, where this Satabri is. We don't see him. Wait a minute, he's way down there. Well, the guy was a little nervous because I just put a come-along up on the top of the cabin and tightened it up till it was straight. And I'm checking, I said, it's going to be strong enough. You know, everything's under tension, it's locked in tight. But he didn't quite believe me. So he stayed real low all the way to town, uphill and down, which is the most dangerous place he could have been. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, he was really shook up. They brought the wing in, the old wing in, later on, I think by snow machine. And they had sawed it into six pieces. So I got him laid out on the floor here trying to figure out where everything went. That was an interesting one.
Did you eventually rebuild the wing?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I had some new spars and built him up a wing. Yeah, that's the... Oh, I believe there was a tree fell there, too. It's on top of my tractor. Mm. Part of it.
There's the other shot that I...
Saw. Yeah. Oh, yes. Went across the tractor and bented the hood all up and laid on the roof of the cabin a little bit, too.
There's your barley field.
Yeah, yeah. See, that was quite a sight. It's the 170 in the background there.
That's quite a field of barley.
Oh, it was amazing. Buck in his 185. Ready to go.
Do they still have that plane as far as you know?
Or? No, no, I sold it here about 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. 2 or 3 years ago now.
There's the truck that you had the heaters on for
this. Yeah, show, yeah. Shot in this series. I drove that truck for 30 years, believe it or not. It got so worn out, you couldn't hardly hear the radio over the howling gears and loose parts.
It's a 60 what, Chevy?
67, I think it was, 67. Mm-hmm. I bought it, was a couple years old. And then Bud Johnson and I built up the bed and put that on because I needed more space, which worked out real nice. Yeah, that was a busy little time, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
185 in the background, one of the malls and to the side there, and a Super Cub out in front. That was a busy little beaver in those days.
What years were your busiest years? Has it been in business for
years? Oh, I can't even tell.
Post pipeline, maybe?
Actually, let's see. I am not sure. I just couldn't say. It's been pretty steady all these years. And about it. It's the dromedary again. And that's a Boeing Stratocruiser modified into a fire bomber plane. Hawkins and Powers out of Wyoming. It's a Super Cub. You think that was O.J. Smith's plane. Rebuilt the fuselage for him.
Some fat old tires on it.
Oh, yeah. Those are the early ones. They're a lot bigger now.
Are they?
Oh, yeah. 31s. Those are about 29s, I think. That was the year of the big snow. We had 150-some inches, I think, around there. Oh, boy. I could only pile it so high with that Oliver with the plow on it. And I got to where I was just about spaceless. I couldn't go any further any direction. My gosh, my neighbor didn't show up with a nice front-end loader and says, I better take care of this for you. Sure good of him. Oh, yeah.
Was that the same year that the snow came really early that year?
No, not really. No, no, that was a different one. But let's see, I'm trying to think. This would have been 91, 92, somewhere in there. Still it was before I moved over here. It might have been earlier than that.
Still some places you can see the trees are still bent over.
Well, that was a different one. This was just snow for the winter. Mm-hmm. And that one, yeah, that came early when the leaves were still in the trees. But no, this was just a horrible snow year. Let's see, where are we? Oh, I guess I'm just working on some floats. Oh, yeah, putting in the cargo hatches. Oh, yeah, that was a good little modification. People can stuff the bulky, lightweight stuff down in those. They're only supposed to carry 50 pounds, but, of course, that was supposed to be 50 pounds.
That almost looks like a postcard shot, but it's not.
No, it's... Gee whiz. It's
international.
Probably international, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's Bud. About to sneeze, I think.
Is that your travel trailer again?
Yeah, it was just a little house trailer. Mm-hmm. Ancient leaky thing, but it worked for an office and coffee shop. Doing something on the 185. That was a pair of homemade skis, or just the damnedest things you ever saw. They've got the pedestals off a set of aluminum skis and bolted them down to a pair of old wooden skis. And they got metal all over the bottoms. They were heavier than yet. And I had picked them up somewhere. Guy's talking about them. I said, man, you can't put them on your airplane. No, just forget this. But I had them out back for quite a while. And one day the FAA comes by and I says, fellas, I got some skis I want you to look at here. We'll get these approved. They just cracked up looking at them. It was ingenious. Oh, there's, we're getting up there, aren't we?
We're getting close to
what do you got here? Anything?
Oh, yeah. Close to 100 pictures.
Yeah, that's just the yard full of everything again.
I think we're at, what does it say there, 221.
Oh.
So we've covered about 100 pictures. That's about our normal day.
That's about good, I think, yeah.
Oh, thank you, Jim.
Well, that was a